Hello and welcome to the LEFCO Institute Monthly Alumni Webinars. This is the third Monday of the month. It is the 17th of March at 5 o'clock Pacific Time. My name is Brittany LEFCO. I'm the lead trainer for all of the LEFCO Institute training courses, and I'm a certified LEFCO Method Facilitator. So I have a bunch of things that I want to talk about today, but I do want to start by seeing if anybody has questions. There were a few people that have posted questions for other webinars. I really appreciate all of your participation. It makes a huge difference, so thank you to everyone who's participating. And before I start, like I said, I'm going to go through and see if anybody wants to raise their hand. You just press the hand-raising button, and I will be able to answer your questions. If you don't have a microphone, no problem. Feel free to type in your questions, and I can answer it that way. So let me take a quick second. Does anybody have any questions? This is the webinar for the free belief. So it could be anything about your particular experience, any difficulties you had, anything that you noticed. It could have to do with larger patterns, or it could have to do with the process in general. Really anything you can think of, I'm happy to speak on. Any questions? No. Okay, great. So I will just get started. The first thing that I wanted to talk about is the concept of no meaning. This came up in a conversation last week, and I realized how important it is to talk about the concept of no meaning for people that are really just beginning to understand the LEFCO method. And the basic idea is the underlying principle is that events have no inherent meaning. And that's something that for a lot of people comes as quite a shock. We think that, well, what does that mean? If events have no meaning, what's the point of living? Don't things matter? And the distinction is between consequences and meaning. So events have consequences, right? If you drive your car off the road, you're probably going to hit something, right? If you raise your hand in class, you're going to get called on, right? So there are consequences to our decisions. There are consequences to the actions we take, but there's a difference between consequences, which are generally immediate, and meaning, which is a generalization about the way things are based off of individualized events. So a couple interesting examples that have come up are the idea of trauma, sickness, things that you would think are laden with meaning. So somebody becomes ill, and if you give it the meaning, they're going to die, they're never going to recover, their quality of life is going to go down, you're likely to feel very upset. Whereas if you realize that just because someone is sick in any given moment, that doesn't necessarily mean anything about the future. It doesn't mean they won't get better. It doesn't mean they're going to die. It doesn't mean that their quality of life will be diminished. The feelings will be very different. So not just in eliminating a belief and understanding that the events of, let's say, your childhood or, you know, something later in life, that the events themselves didn't lead to the belief, but the meaning that we gave those events, right? So again, critical parents could mean that who you are is not good enough as a person. It could also mean your parents had unrealistic expectations, right? Of course, which has nothing to do with you. So events can have a number of different arbitrary meanings that we give, but there's not one meaning that is inherent in the event. So not just does that exist within beliefs, but also within our day-to-day life. So the LEFCO Freedom course talks a lot about the meanings that we give to individual daily events that in turn predict, you know, how we're going to feel about things, how we're going to react to things. And the basic idea is to really understand, not just on an intellectual level, but on an experiential level, that the feelings that we have, the ways in which we react to things, on the daily, come from the individual meanings that we give to particular events. So before I go on talking about meaning, does anybody have any questions about that specifically? I'm just kind of going through a list. I might just call on some people randomly and see what you guys have to say. There's somebody named, let's see, Chris. Let me try to unmute you. Chris, do you have a microphone?
Yes.
Hi, how are you, Chris?
Pretty good.
Good. So how far have you gone? Have you just eliminated the one free belief, or have you experienced eliminating other beliefs as well?
Just the one.
Great. And how did it go for you? Were you able to eliminate it?
Mostly.
Mostly? Okay. So mostly meaning that, was there any particular part that was challenging for you? The alternative interpretations, the seeing step?
No, I just think repetition would be helpful.
Repetition?
Just doing the process again and again.
So is it that when you say the words of the belief out loud, it still feels true, or is it that there are maybe other similar beliefs that are producing similar feelings? So for example, if you get rid of the belief I'm not good enough, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be confident, right? You still might have I'm not important, I'm not worthwhile, or if you get rid of the belief mistakes
Correct.
and failures are bad, that doesn't mean you don't have the belief if I make a mistake or fail, I'll be rejected, or other beliefs that would lead you to feel fear when you make a mistake. So does it seem like those particular words are true, or that there might be other similar beliefs?
Other similar beliefs.
So have you looked into natural confidence at all? Have do you have a desire to try to continue getting rid of more beliefs?
What is natural confidence?
So natural confidence is a package. It's a video very similar to the free belief that has all of the most common self-esteem beliefs. So after working with thousands of people, we basically figured out what are the main beliefs that everyone has, right? What are the beliefs that really cause a lack of self-confidence? And we get rid of all of those beliefs. I believe it's 17 beliefs and four conditionings, emotional conditionings like fear associated with making mistakes, stuff like that. And so basically, when you get rid of all the self-esteem beliefs, you might still have patterns of behavior in your life that don't work. So, for example, you might have things in your professional life that are not going as you want them, or relationships, but you will have an internal locus of control, one where you feel an unwavering sense of confidence that doesn't depend on, external validation or, something that can't really be taken away from you.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's a great package. I mean, I don't know how much you know about what the Lefkoe Institute offers. So one thing I just mentioned was the Freedom Course, which you probably have no idea what that is now. Have you heard of the Lefkoe Freedom Course?
I'm not sure which one I did. I did a free offering that was given.
Yeah, so the free belief is one belief, right? So you get to get rid of one belief and you experience eliminating a belief. Now, eliminating a belief is a great experience, right? It's empowering, it opens up possibilities, but eliminating beliefs in themselves isn't what's going to make a really profound difference in your life, right? It's eliminating full patterns of behavior. So, for example,
Right.
if you're a financial advisor and you have difficulty closing the deal, you have a hard time marketing yourself, or you don't really feel that you're able to gain relationships of trust with prospective clients because of something in your personality, right? Or even something like relationship issues. You keep meeting the wrong people or having relationships that aren't working out, right? So the idea is all
Right.
of these patterns are the result of underlying negative beliefs that we hold, like the one that you eliminated, about ourselves and about the world. So if you believe if I make a mistake or fail, I'll be rejected, what I have to say is not important, I'm not good enough, how are you going to feel about getting up to speak in public?
Terrified.
Yeah, probably pretty nervous, right? So if you look at all of these different patterns that we have, right, they come from these negative beliefs. So once you eliminate the underlying beliefs, the pattern disappears naturally, right? So without those beliefs, public speaking isn't inherently scary. Otherwise, everyone would be scared of it, right? Just like the way dogs
Right.
aren't inherently scary, but if you believe dogs are dangerous, you're going to feel fear, right? So the basic idea is, again, eliminating beliefs individually is great, but that's not what really makes the difference. What really makes the difference is getting rid of all of the relevant beliefs that underlie any given pattern. And once you do that, the pattern of behavior changes, right? So
Okay.
that's basically how you do sessions. Individual one-on-one sessions. Like I said, natural confidence is the package of the self-esteem beliefs. And then the other thing that exists is called the Lefkoe Freedom Course. And that's a little bit what I was talking about earlier, that given the idea of no meaning, and does the no meaning make a little bit more sense after that description that I gave?
Oh yeah, it made sense right off the bat.
Great. Okay, good,
The
good. So
meaning that you gave things at time that it happened might not necessarily be the correct meaning, but it was just your perception.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a great way to put it. It was just your perception, right? It was an arbitrary meaning that we attributed to events. So basically, given that, if you think about your day-to-day life, if events have no meaning, events can't make you feel anything. So we assume on a day-to-day life that we are affected by our external surroundings, right? That the things that happen make us feel a certain way. But what kind of power do you have if events can't make you feel anything, right? You basically
have a lot of power.
Yeah.
You could just look at things from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It won't affect you so negatively.
Exactly. So my dad's favorite example is my mom loves to leave water glasses all over the house, and I don't really know where the habit started. What?
I heard that in one of the advertisements.
Yeah.
That story.
That's yeah, and it's so funny because it couldn't be any truer. I mean, I was just visiting my parents in San Francisco, and I would walk upstairs. It's like there's water glasses everywhere, like all over the house. And it's true. My dad really was like, God, she just expects me to clean them up. That's so rude. And he was so frustrated. And when he got... It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean she expects him to do it. It doesn't mean that she's rude. It doesn't mean she doesn't care about him, right? That she takes care of him in every other way and cleans up the house in every other way, you know, and he stopped feeling frustrated.
She probably cleans up her own glasses eventually.
Eventually, you know? Eventually.
She probably takes two or three downstairs as she goes, but, you know, that doesn't mean that she didn't get the other six laying around.
Right, so, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so you totally get...
Her forgetfulness had nothing to do with him.
Right, exactly. So in the Lefko Freedom course, what you do is you learn how to dissolve the meaning that we attribute to events kind of on a minute-to-minute basis. And with practice, you learn how to develop a stronger awareness of when you're giving meaning in kind of more intense circumstances. So for example... You're fired from your job. And if you give it the meaning, this is a catastrophe, or if you give it the meaning, I'm never going to have another job, this is going to be horrible for my family, or I'm not good enough, it means something about me. You know, the feelings you're going to have are going to be really strong, right? It's going to be a really painful experience. But if you give it the meaning, it doesn't mean anything about my skill set. It doesn't mean anything about my potential to get a job in the future. And it doesn't mean that I'm not now in a position to finally find a job that I really love because I didn't really love my job to begin with, right?
Right?
If you give it a more positive meaning or if you don't give it a negative meaning, the events won't affect you. So in the Lefko Freedom course, you really learn that skill of dissolving meaning, and you practice again and again and again, and you have assignments, and you discuss them, and my dad, the one that, you know, does the course, he's the one that provides feedback, and it's very interactive, so you learn how to do that. So there's a couple different ways of going about kind of seeing yourself as the creator of your life, as understanding the world, not as a place where things just happen, but as kind of a place where there's these unlimited possibilities, and certain ones seem believable to you and other ones don't, based off of your beliefs and based off of, you know, again, your perspectives. And as you shift your perspectives, possibilities kind of, you know, just open up for you, right? That makes sense?
Right. And that's really what I'm working on right now is shifting those perspectives to a more positive mode.
Yeah.
You know, instead of thinking negatively all the time.
Exactly, which is really the best, you know, the best thing you can do. And understanding it kind of in that multifaceted way that we have the beliefs that we, you know, form during early childhood, which tend to cause us to see things a certain way, right? I worked with a client this morning who had beliefs about change, things like, there's something wrong with me, I can't change, things don't work out. With those kind of beliefs, it's really hard to find positive self-talk, right? So you're in a position where it's like, you really want to be positive, but if you believe it's not going to work out and there's something wrong with you and you're never going to change, what are the chances that things are really, you know, going to feel positive? So it's first eliminating those beliefs. And then the second piece is learning how to deal with those everyday occurrings of, you know, your husband leaves carrots on the table and you say, oh my God, that's so disrespectful. Or someone cuts you off and you say, what a jerk, right? Those kind of everyday experiences. So it seems like you're right on the right track here.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's how I found this program is just checking out different things along those same lines.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I did, the God, I don't even remember what it was called.
The Free Belief.
Free Belief, mm-hmm. Yeah. It just kind of made it click in my head that it is all perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Excellent, excellent. Well, it sounds like the Freedom Course would be really interesting to you, so I definitely recommend checking that out. I think you'd get a lot of value out of it.
Okay.
Yeah, great. All right, did you have any questions?
No, not really.
Okay, great. All right. Well, thank you so much for participating, Chris.
Sure.
All right. All right, did anybody else have anything that they wanted to say? Oh, let's see. Lucas. I have a dilemma. After finishing Natural Confidence course, I should attend LMT 1 or 2. I can eliminate a belief if I can find its source, so I basically have the ability to get rid of beliefs. Yes, it's hard for me to find the source. Okay, so basically what Lucas is asking about is the LEFCO Method training courses are courses that we offer that help people learn how to eliminate beliefs by themselves. So whether you're interested in working as, you know, a certified facilitator or working with your friends, or even maybe trying to get rid of some of your own beliefs, which works for some people, doesn't work for others. It really depends on, you know, your ability to be self-reflective and to have that kind of distance. But so the LEFCO Method training course is the first one you learn how do you eliminate a belief when you already know what the belief is. So if someone comes to you and they say, I have the belief mistakes and failures are bad, you can get rid of it. The second LEFCO Method training course, what you learn is how to find patterns. So people don't come to you with patterns. They come to you with problems, right? People are generally not really aware of specifically what's going on, right? So they come forward and they say, again, you know, I work in sales and I find that I, you know, I get nervous when I'm trying to sell new products, not really when I'm selling things I've sold before, or I'm nervous selling in big groups but not in small groups. I'm good at one-on-one. So people have a small sense of what their issue is, but for the most part, people aren't clear on what exactly it is that they need to work on. So what you learn in the second LEFCO Method training course is how to take a problem, turn it into a definable pattern with a behavioral and emotional component, and then more importantly, or not more importantly, maybe equally importantly, is how to find the underlying beliefs. Because again, even if people are clear on their problem, nobody's trained at finding beliefs, right? That's not naturally how our brains work. We don't see things in that way. That's kind of counterintuitive to look at what do I believe that has me act this way or feel this way. So as a LEFCO Method facilitator, your job is to say, okay, so you have a hard time selling when you're in groups. What might you believe that would cause that? And then find all of the underlying beliefs. I would say after doing Natural Confidence, you might have a sense of the steps of the process, but most likely when you're working with a client who A, can't remember their childhood, B, doesn't know the source, C, has a hard time believing interpretations, right? So those complications that exist, you know, just due to the way our brains all work differently as humans, I think you're going to run into a number of problems. So my suggestion would absolutely be to start with the first LEFCO Method training and learn, because we have an entire module on what to do when people don't want to blame their parents, right? So for everybody who's done the Free Belief, those beliefs, especially self-esteem beliefs, are going to come from early childhood, and our early childhood is spent with our parents. And well-intentioned parents who love us very much are human, and they make a lot of mistakes, right? They do a lot of things that don't work for us, a lot of things that lead to negative beliefs, right? So when you have clients who say, my parents were great, they did a great job, I don't want to blame them, you need to learn how to talk to them and explain to them that even well-intentioned parents still lead to the formation of beliefs, not because they're bad parents, but because of all of these different reasons, right? Lucas says it starts on the 18th or the 25th of March. It starts on the 25th of March, and there's a, it will teach me how to find the source. Yes, absolutely. So there's a whole section designed to really work on looking at where is the source of these beliefs? How do you work with your client to find the particular source of their beliefs? So yeah, those are things that you will learn in the first LEFCO method training course. Now, we have an option for the first time. Normally, you purchase them separately. You do the first training, and then if you want to go on to do the second, you can. But I know that tomorrow there's going to be an opportunity to buy them together. It's a discounted package rate if you buy the first and second LEFCO method training. So that would mean, again, you begin with the first, you learn how to eliminate beliefs, all of the different things that kind of complicate it and how to work through them. And then once you're comfortable eliminating a belief, you move into the second training where you learn, like I said, how to find patterns and how to figure out which beliefs need to be eliminated. So yeah, that will start on the 25th. Cool. Yeah, great. And it's a wonderful course. I am the LEFCO Method trainer. So as you submit all of the weekly assignments, I'll be the one giving you feedback. You'll have a coaching session included at the end of the course where you'll work with a client, or if you want to just work on, again, one of your own beliefs or your own patterns, that's an option as well. And I'll listen in and provide feedback for an hour. And so you'll have that experience as well. Great. Okay. Did anybody else have questions? We've talked a little bit about the LEFCO Method training course and a little bit about the LEFCO Freedom course. Let's see. I don't have any more questions listed right now. I can go ahead and call on someone and see if anyone else has anything to say. Let's see. I have a Maureen. Maureen, can you hear me? Maureen? Nope. What about Randy? Randy?
Yes, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. So what about for you? Were you able to do the free belief successfully? Have you had any other experiences with the LEFCO Institute?
I have. I did the free beliefs, and I was pretty excited about it. And I told my father about it, and he's a... It's a big proponent of self-betterment, I guess.
Great.
He actually bought me the natural confidence as a gift.
Oh, so, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it was nice. And he actually signed me up for the Freedom course, and I think you were all booked up at the time, but I have a deposit down.
Great.
I'm not certain I'm going to be able to do it. I'd like to do it. What does that cost, actually? Was it like $500 or something?
I don't know. I'm obviously a certified LEFCO Method facilitator, but I mostly do sessions. I'm involved with projects, development, ideas, but I'm not actually sure how much the courses cost.
Well, don't worry. That's a question that's easily found out online.
That's true.
I did half of the course, though. I did half of the natural confidence programming. I think I was up to 8.
Okay. And any particular reason that you took a break?
I was not certain I was making progress. I seemed to plateau a bit. I felt as though I was making a substantial progress in the beginning, but it did seem that I was having difficulty remembering my childhood. And it seemed like even though we were going over different criteria on each one, I felt as though I was coming up with sort of the same scenes over and over, and I didn't feel like I was getting quite the benefit out of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it can feel repetitive, absolutely, with a lot of similar beliefs and, the same voice for a lot of it, so I understand. But I definitely recommend that you finish it. And one thing is that very often the same memories, those same childhood events, do lead to all of these different beliefs. Now, it's not necessarily always going to be the same source, but it's okay to have the same source, right? As kids, I don't know if you are really around kids at all, but if you think of the one question they ask incessantly, right? What's that one question all kids ask?
What's the one question all kids ask?
Why, right? Why?
Oh.
Why is the sky blue? Why is the grass green? Why is he tall? Why is she small? Why are you doing that, right? Why? So as kids, because we ask why all the time, and because basically for our survival, we're trying to figure out the world and trying to understand, how do I keep mom and dad happy with me, right? My survival depends upon them. And if they're upset with me, what if they abandon me and I die, right? I can't survive on my own because of the way our brains develop, given the fact that we can't survive on our own during those early years. We answer our own question. Why are mom and dad upset with me? Well, it must mean I'm not good enough. It must be that I'm not important. It must be that there's something wrong with me. Mom and dad are stressed out. Why, right? It must be that life is hard. It must be, right? So again, those same events can lead to other interpretation or to other beliefs. So it's okay to have the same memories and to kind of, you know, use them over and over again.
Yeah, and I think part of my my trouble also is what you've already touched on is actually trying to find the source, because, you know, altogether I didn't have an all too terrible childhood.
Yeah.
You know, I'm certain there were times that, you know, and I did recall a few, but all in all, I mean, you know, I probably don't have much to complain about, but I suppose it's still there. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's all about. It's, you know, no matter if it was good or bad, it's kind of how we perceived it. And,
right. And that's a really important point that you brought up, because for, like you said, for a lot of people, it's not that they had bad childhoods. They had parents that really, really loved them and cared for them and did their best. What's so challenging about the way that our brains develop is that we're not outside of our own ego until at least 6 or 7 years old, right? So up until 6 or 7, we perceive everything as coming through us, from us, right? So if mom is having a bad day and she's upset, even if she's not taking it out on us, we still perceive it as it must be my fault, right? So the most natural, normal kinds of things, I mean, being an adult and having a job and having a life, it's pretty easy to understand how parents get overwhelmed and frustrated, right? I don't have kids, and I know that there's days where at the end of the day, I'm like, oh my God, I can't imagine coming home to toys all over the floor and food all over the place and screaming, crying children, right? So when our parents get frustrated or get overwhelmed, it's not that they're bad parents, it's just kind of those normal everyday responses. So it's easy sometimes to think that you have to have traumatic events or, you know, really angry parents, but even the smallest frustrations we perceive as a lack of love, we perceive as being our fault. So I might suggest, you know, leaving a little bit more leeway that, again, it doesn't have to be anything really negative. It can just be a perceived, you know, some kind of upset. Does that make sense?
You know what? It does. And I wanted to, not to get off subject here, but
no, it's fine.
It's related to that. I swear that I have more negative feelings from, you know, teachers at that age, or even you know, relatives at that age, mm-hmm. other than my parents. But those are the more of the, and I remember your father saying something that, you know, those aren't the, you know, what really matters are your parents. Those are the ones that we need to focus on, not the teachers or the other people that you may have had bad memories from. But that is really where I think, if someone were to say, you know, what are your top 10 bad memories, I would certainly be pointing, you know, my parents maybe would be in there, but mostly I could probably count my relatives and my teachers.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I would say relatives, if they were a big part of your life, I mean, especially growing up, you could absolutely form beliefs from your relatives, especially if the experiences, you know, really felt significant.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I would give those a shot. I think that part of my dad's point is that if you feel unconditionally loved in your house, which is something that is really almost impossible, but let's say that you do, right? And you feel, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, I'm capable, I'm adequate, and I don't have to do anything to be good enough, I just am. And you go into school and a teacher criticizes you, you're not likely to look and say, oh my God, I'm not good enough. You would likely say, what is wrong with this teacher that they're so rude, right? Why does this teacher not see the fact that I am good enough? Why does this teacher have a total misconception of me, right? Or if you're excluded by kids at school, you know, if you believe I'm not good enough, you're going to say, see, I'm not good enough. They don't want to be friends with me. But again, if you have this really positive self-regard, you're going to look out and say, God, kids are so mean. What is it that they, you know, see somebody and decide randomly not to like them, right? So do you see the different ways that you would most likely interpret those kinds of events?
I can.
Yeah, so I think...
That makes sense. My parents are the culprit.
Well, I mean, most likely, most likely. But it is absolutely possible to form beliefs later in life from family members outside of your parents, like you said, or from teachers, you know, especially if you, you know, are in an environment where, you know, you have teachers like, you know, you're in a Catholic school and, you know, teachers call you a sinner or, you know, something like that. I can imagine that really, you know, affecting a young child. But I would say it's less so with self-esteem beliefs and maybe more with other beliefs, that maybe the self-esteem beliefs come from parents and other beliefs would come from school. So I don't know if you're struggling with it, I would call, you know, the Institute and talk to a facilitator about, you know, your particular beliefs and see if maybe you want to, you know, check it out and see if you could get rid of some of the beliefs using other sources or see what someone has to say, because, you know, we would have a better insight knowing, you know, more details about your particular beliefs and where you're struggling.
Well, I appreciate that, but, you know, in all reality, I should finish it first and then,
probably,
you know, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Great. Well, thank you so much for participating. Did you have any other questions or anything else that you wanted to bring up?
No, you've certainly inspired me to finish it. I'm going to finish it.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that. Well, thank you so much, Randy.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Let's see. Any other questions? Let me call on one more person, and then maybe I'll go through a little bit more of my to-do list for the day. We have Shayna. I'm not sure if it's... Shayna, are you there?
No.
Oh, I heard you echoing. That's me hearing my own voice. Nobody wants to listen to me echo. All right, what about Paul? Paul, can you hear me? No. All right, no more questions for the moment. Maybe I'll go back to my to-do list then for a minute, and then I'll check in with you guys again and see who's got questions. So I wanted to talk a little bit about how beliefs get in the way of our success, to talk a little bit about seeing opportunities and possibilities. And that was something I just mentioned earlier when I was talking to Chris. But I want to elaborate on that a little bit more, that it's easy to see negative beliefs in a way that's really vague, right? Like, oh, well, we have beliefs and it, you know, it affects our lives negatively and we don't feel as good about ourselves and we get stuck. And that's true. But more importantly, the consequences of having beliefs are these specific negative patterns. So again, it's easy to be dramatic and say, you see really profound differences in your life and everything changes and you're really different. But what really matters is what are the measurable results, right? Of course you want to feel better. Everybody would love to feel better. And that does happen. But like I said, more importantly, it's important to look at measurable results. Negative beliefs don't just lead to us feeling negatively. They also lead to different behaviors. So if you have beliefs that you have to work really hard to make money, that things don't come easily and things never work out, you're most likely going to have workaholic tendencies, right? You're going to have tendencies to work really hard and to feel really burnt out, right? Now, again, if you find that your behavior, whatever that is, doesn't work for you, it's so important to realize the beliefs that are going on underneath it so that you can change that particular behavior by eliminating those specific beliefs, right? So again, it's not just about eliminating all of your beliefs. It's about finding the patterns that are getting in your way. So for example, I worked with a financial advisor that had a caretaking pattern, right? She had the belief that what makes me good enough is taking care of people. She owned her company. And every time one of her employees was having trouble with something, she said, I'll just do it for you, because it made her feel good enough, because she believed she had to take care of people. She eliminated the caretaking pattern, started delegating more effectively and tripled her business, right? She had something like $140 million under management and assets within, you know, a couple months of eliminating that pattern. So there are real life measurable results that come from eliminating beliefs. So again, it's really easy to think about, I'll eliminate it when I get around to it, or they're beliefs, they make me feel this way, they make me feel that way. But I really just wanted to connect it to real life concrete examples so everybody really has a sense of where are these patterns coming from. So again, things like caretaking, things that we don't necessarily see as negative. Overachieving is a big one. It's great to want to achieve. It's great to want to succeed. But when you're driven to achieve, when you're so focused on results, you very often miss out on really important learning opportunities and growth opportunities because you don't want to be in a position where you can't succeed and you might fail, right? So again, very often people aren't looking for promotions. They're not looking for new opportunities because they're doing so well where they are, and it feels scary to put at risk that feeling of good enoughness, right, that comes from achieving, succeeding. Looks like we have a question, another one from Lucas. I have mood swings, sometimes high amplitude, even during the day. I know that Morty has beat his depression using this method. How much time did it take him? How much more or less would it take? What is the pattern in your method? Is it behavioral or... Okay, so there's two different questions here. The first one is, what is a pattern? And the second one is, what do you do with issues like mood swings and depression? So yeah, like Lucas brought up, my dad was very depressed for most of his life. And after he eliminated all of the beliefs underlying that pattern, his depression went away. But a lot of the beliefs about depression are things like, it's hopeless, I'm hopeless, I'm a failure, there's no point, nothing's ever going to work out, I'm powerless. And it's those kinds of beliefs that lead to depression. With mood swings, I would say it really depends. That would be a situation where I would need to know more details. So you would want to speak to a certified facilitator and have them hear more about your particular situation. It could be a situation in which you have really good coping strategies. So you... are able to feel really good when you're, so we call them survival strategy beliefs, which are beliefs like, what makes me good enough is succeeding, achieving, taking care of people, doing things perfectly, being good at sports, right? Whatever it is that you got praised for or recognition, having people like me, right? Being popular, being attractive. So if you think about what were the things that you were, you know, got recognition for as a kid, those are going to be the things that you now rely on as an adult to fill that void and to make you feel good about yourself when you have negative self-esteem beliefs. They're kind of compulsive behavioral patterns that we're constantly chasing, succeeding, or having people like us in order to feel good. So what is likely happening is there are depression beliefs or there are negative beliefs that are having you feel negatively. Then you're in a position where you're able to succeed or you're able to be well-liked and you have positive feelings, and then something happens that takes them away, right? So it's that dramatic up and down and up and down. And that would come from, again, the failing and the succeeding of your particular coping skills or survival strategies. So first, eliminating those survival strategies is really important, but also having, a positive self-regard, positive levels of self-confidence. Yes, you are so right. Good. I'm glad I got it. Excellent. Good. Thank you, Lucas. And then in terms of what is a pattern, I'm so happy you brought that up because I just kind of throw these terms out and it's important for me to define them. So a pattern is a term that we use for a set of behaviors or emotions. So there is what we call a triggered emotional pattern, which would be an example, for example, fear of public speaking. Every time I think about speaking in public, every time I speak in public, I feel fear. So that's a triggered emotion, fear, associated with speaking in public, right? There's mood patterns, which would be like depression, right? That's a pattern of emotion. I consistently feel depressed, right? A behavioral pattern would be procrastination. I avoid doing the things that need to get done, right? So that's a behavioral pattern, an avoidance pattern. Another example would be a compulsive behavioral pattern. So I compulsively spend money. The minute I get a paycheck, I blow it, right? That's an example of a compulsive behavioral pattern. Or I eat compulsively, right? I eat to, you know, when I'm nervous, when I want to reward myself, I eat when I'm not hungry, right? That's another compulsive behavioral pattern. So there's quite a variety of different kinds of patterns. Does that answer your question, Lucas? And when you say, is that the sum of certain beliefs? Absolutely. Good. I'm glad I answered your question. So absolutely. The beliefs that we have that are relevant to that pattern, that's what causes the pattern. So of course, when you get rid of the beliefs, the pattern goes away. So every week, let's say you have, you know, it takes you 5 sessions to get rid of any given pattern, right? So that's 5, you know, 5 consecutive weeks of working. The first week, after working, you're going to notice your pattern gets a little better. So if it's fear of public speaking, you'll say, normally I'm terrified. This time I was still anxious, but I wasn't as worried. But the pattern is still there because there are some beliefs there. After the second, more are gone. You say, you know, I noticed I was even less worried. And normally, you know, I'm nervous when I look at how many people are in the room. Now I was just more focused on my material. So you start to see small changes. And then after eventually you get rid of all of the relevant beliefs, you say, you know, I went to speak in public and I felt excited. You know, I wasn't nervous at all. So as the different beliefs go away, the pattern starts to shift, right? And you, certain things that used to scare you don't. So again, if you get rid of the belief, what I have to say is not important, and the belief people aren't interested in what I have to say, you might say, I was still worried about making a mistake, but I really felt like people were interested. What a huge difference. That doesn't mean the pattern's gone, but there's a piece of that pattern that's really shifted given that you no longer have those two beliefs. You say 5 sessions one-on-one. Yeah, I would say your first pattern would probably be somewhere between maybe 4 to 6 sessions to eliminate. After that, you can often get rid of a session anywhere from 3 to 5, or rid of a pattern maybe 3 to 5 sessions, because there's so much overlap, right? Once you get rid of all of those self-confidence beliefs, there's not really that many beliefs in any given pattern. So, yeah, after you get rid of your natural confidence beliefs, which really is probably only, you know, again, 4, maybe 5 sessions maximum. You can do procrastination in probably 3-4 sessions. You could do, you know, relationships 3-4 sessions. So it really doesn't take very long. He asked, can I do it via the LEFCO method training course? You would want to work with a facilitator. Yeah. So you won't be able to find all of your own patterns and the underlying beliefs just from doing the training. The training is great for a skill that you want to have eventually, right? If you do want to use the process to get rid of other people's beliefs, right? So if you wanted to, again, work with friends and family, if you wanted to use it professionally, if you wanted to be able to use it on yourself, those are all things that you could do. Doing the training is not something that you do to get rid of your own beliefs, you know, right off the bat. That would be more of a long-term goal. Great. Did anybody else have questions? Okay. Let's see. Let me try to call on someone else. I have Jeff. Oh, that didn't work. Jeff, do you have a mic? Can you hear me? Nope, no Jeff. What about Celine? Celine, do you have a mic? Can you hear me? I hear a noise, but no voice. All right, let me try one more. What about Bassam? Bassam? Oh, Bassam, it sounded like I could hear you. Nope, just some feedback. All right, so maybe none of that. Does anybody else have any questions? I feel like I kind of covered a lot. I don't want to overwhelm anyone. So I just want to know where everyone's at. If anybody wants to raise your hand with, again, it doesn't need to be a fully formulated, brilliant question. Just anything that I've brought up that you wanted to discuss, or anything I haven't brought up that interested you. Does everybody have a good sense of, you know, kind of what it takes to eliminate a belief and kind of where they're at? Okay, so I guess, yeah, the last thing I said was kind of a good place to end. Just again, thinking realistically about how patterns of behavior manifest in a concrete way. And, again, patterns of caretaking and not being able to delegate work was an example that I gave. Another thing is, your relationship with your friends and family. If you have beliefs about not being able to trust people, or beliefs like the way to have power is to dominate people, and you have issues with anger. So it's easy to stay vague, but there are real life, ways to both understand your beliefs in the context of the real world and real patterns, and of course to eliminate those. So I guess that's all for now. I really say the most based off of the participation of you guys, and everything you say is so valuable. I want to know what you guys want to know, and the more you tell me, the more I know what interests you. So again, it's the third Monday of the month. It is March 17th, and it is almost 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It's St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone on the call. And again, I want to say thank you so much to everyone who participated. If anybody has questions, feel free to send them in advance, or feel free to show up and raise your hand. To everybody that's listening from afar in other parts of the world in different time zones, thank you for spending the time to listen. And I look forward to talking to everybody next month. I'll have a new agenda with some more things to talk about. Take care. Thanks so much. Bye.